interacted with technology for well over, half a century. It is only in recent years that interaction designers themselves have started to take an interest in these interactions and ask questions related to them. So, for example, how does technology impact animals' well-being, or how does technology influence their social lives? Such as in the case of this robotic milking system, how easy is it for animals to interact with technology that is designed for them to interact with? And how do they experience these interactions? Do they enjoy it? Do they not? How does technology affect the animal's security and privacy? And do these questions even make sense when it comes to animals other than humans? Then how can technology best support animals who are given tasks by humans, specific tasks to carry out? Are we supporting them as we should? So this is the sort of questions that we are interested in at the ACI Lab at the Open University. And as Sonia was saying, our first aim is to understand, to research and try to understand the interaction between animals and technology in the context in which the animals live and operate, so in their habitual contexts. One other aim that we have is to design technology that can support animals in different contexts, for example, by giving them better lives, by supporting them in tasks that they might have received from humans, and by, for example, by fostering intra and interspecies relationships. Another very important aim that we have is to inform user-centered approaches that enable the animals to take part in the design process as contributors. So we don't just want to design things for animals, we want to design them with them. I really want to say this. In our work, we take a very strict ethical approach, and for us, the uttermost priority is to always make sure that the welfare, not only the welfare, also the autonomy of the animals, within the context of our research, at least, is always put first. So, you probably are familiar with these concepts, so just to go over, just to emphasize. So, for us, interaction designers, a user-centered design looks a little bit like this. This is a very simplified version, but what happens is that we try to elicit requirements to identify what might be required from a piece of technology. We try to develop alternative designs. We try to prototype these and test them, sort of evaluate them. Now, the key thing is that at the center of this whole process is always the user. The user is always involved, the user is always part of it, is at the center of this process. Now, obviously, the issue is how do we do this with animals other than humans, with whom we have, with whom there are communication barriers to say one thing, but there may be a very different way of perceiving the world, very different way of interacting with the world, and so how do we deal with the challenges that arise from these differences? So those are some things we're trying to do at our lab. So we have a number of projects on the go. For example, this is a PhD project by Fiona French. She's looking at how to develop interactive technology that can enrich the lives of captive elephants. So, in a playful way. So this is technology for elephants to play with. One project that we had recently was to try and investigate requirements for what we call smart kennels. So to see whether we can develop smart solutions, smart technologies that we can put in kennels to improve the lives, not only of kennel dogs, but animals who live in confined, looking to future other applications. This is a PhD by Patrizia Paci. She's looking at the impact that biotelemetric devices, so devices that are used to measure vital signs, and they are used very frequently with animals in various areas, in farming, in research, in other contexts. So they do normally have an impact. Sometimes the impact is very severe, and we are looking at how can we improve the wearability of this technology. But today I wanted to focus on three projects a bit more, in particular, which are to do with us dogs who have been given tasks by humans in various cases, and who are helping humans to get on with their lives in different ways. So the first project I wanted to tell you about is in collaboration with Dogs for Good. This is a charity used to be called Dogs for the Disabled. They've recently rebranded themselves. So this is a charity that trains dogs to mobility assistant dogs to help people with physical disabilities. The dogs learn to carry out various tasks on behalf of the humans. Such as switching lights on and off, starting a washing machine, calling the elevator, opening and closing doors, that sort of thing. And actually, we had a very interesting workshop in a project that we did years ago with Michelle, where we worked with a charity for a day and to learn the challenges that these dogs face on a daily basis. So, speaking of challenges, this is the sort of interfaces that these dogs are faced with every moment of the day, that they have to learn to use and then physically to use. Now, I just, so from a perspective of a dog, these devices fail in terms of usability and accessibility in just about every possible way an interaction designer can imagine. So, we have in interaction design, we have these sort of very simple principles. They are considered very basics, and I'm sure you already know about them. But, the technology animals that dogs have to use doesn't fare well on any count. So visibility. So to begin with, dogs have diachromatic vision, which means that they don't see greens or reds. They, because they don't have, we have three sets of cones, they only have two. So a lot of devices are in the homes or in other places are colored green or red. So green is like, go ahead, red is sort of danger or alarm or whatever. So you can imagine if you confuse an alarm button with a door opening button, that could be an issue. So that's one thing. Now, consistency, another fundamental principle in interaction design, and this is what dogs have to deal with. So total lack of consistency. Now, we humans can cope with this sort of thing because we are quite good at abstracting things. So we say, okay, that's a different person, different, but it's sort of nice, that's. And we can learn stuff more easily. But for a dog, something that looks different is something different. Again, this is a great disadvantage for them. Next, affordance, very famous principle of design. Now, affordance is, of course, based on, if something affords you something, is based on your physical and cognitive characteristics. And it's not an absolute concept, it's not a characteristic of the object, not unrelated on you, the user. So this, to a dog, doesn't afford what it does afford the human. There is no way. So these are just to give you quickly a sense. So how on earth are we going, how do we design things that actually make sense for dogs that are accessible to them? So how do we translate good design principles into dog